This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about some of the nutritional implications of coronavirus with someone who I consider really an expert in the field of nutrition. He's author of numerous very, very useful books on the subject of nutritional applications to problems like immunity and stress and gastrointestinal problems and cardiometabolic disorders. His latest book is actually an update of his Supplementing Dietary Nutrients, A Guide for Healthcare Professionals. And it's designed for clinicians and pharmacists and nutritionists and dietitians and nurses and nurse practitioners and medical technicians, nutritional researchers and educators, health coaches, medical health journalists and writers, students of health professions, manufacturers and distributors of food and dietary supplements. And many of you intelligent medicine listeners, although you're not formally healthcare practitioners, you, by dint of listening to Intelligent Medicine, you get an honorary PhD in nutrition. And these books, I think, would be a valuable addition to your resource library. Tom, where are they available?
Well, there's two places. One, we mentioned the pointinstitute.org, so they could go right on there and order them. For some healthcare professionals, if they're connected with Ortho, they can go to their site, the Lifestyle Matrix Resource Center, and if they have an account there, they can get them directly from Ortho.
And that's in your capacity as, let's see, you are the, let's get the title correctly, Vice President of Scientific Affairs for Ortho Molecular Products, makers of a very, very high quality line of products that physicians and health practitioners dispense in their offices. And by the way, those products available on FullScript. They're available to you, our listener, our Intelligent Medicine listeners. So let's talk a little bit more about coronavirus. There are some unique characteristics of the virus that some of the more thoughtful people in the field of nutritional medicine have honed in on that make it so that some things that we don't necessarily consider immune support nutrients or antivirals may in some way attenuate the infection or block the entry of the virus into the cells. Can you talk a little bit about some of those agents?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we, you know, going back to the list that we were talking about, you know, there's a lot of non-specific ways of helping, like things like omega-3s and probiotics and things like that. And, you know, from an immune standpoint, you know, making sure you've got enough zinc, things that, that would be immune related. And we can talk about botanicals in a minute. But if we think about the way that the virus works and the way that the epithelia of the lung, you know, are vulnerable to it, there's some things that people are thinking about. You know, N-acetylcysteine is one that a lot of clinicians are talking about being very beneficial.
And by the way, using it in New York City hospitals, they're using it, you know, and probably you know why, is NAC is one of the few nutrients that's carried on formulary in hospitals because it also has the status of a medication. It's called Mucormist. Yeah. And it's used as an antidote for Tylenol toxicity, as you well know. And it's, so it's available in hospitals, and some innovative doctors here in New York are thrown into the mix for their very sick patients in the ICU as, and, you know, for its lung protective effects.
And it's, you know, it's available, you know, it's becoming increasingly less available, because of the run on everything, but, it's available as a dietary supplement. Not only is it a precursor to glutathione, which is an extremely important, antioxidant in the body, but it's a mucolytic. So it is for the lungs, and we've used it for years to help people with, you know, break down the mucus, fluidity, in the lungs to help as an expectorant kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So N-acetylcysteine, probably lipoic acid in the line of its ability to be an antioxidant and a glutathione precursor as well. We probably don't have as much specific data on that, but that would fall in the same idea with N-acetylcysteine. Probably both of those, even maybe better than oral glutathione, whether it's of any form at that point, because it's because of the benefit of getting two things for one, although some people are using sort of, you know, glutathione orally as well. You know, then there's some other things that people are thinking about, trying to figure out how the virus replicates. There's been some speculation about the effects of phospholipase A2 inhibitors. We're looking at potentially, I mean, some of the botanicals that are anti-inflammatories work potentially by blocking that pathway. The virus happens to use that enzyme to produce its own lipid toxins, which creates the benefit for the virus to replicate.
I haven't heard of that one.
There's even people talking about
which are the botanicals that seem to work on that pathway.
Well, I mean, you know, pretty much most of your anti-inflammatories. There's a you know, your curcumin, your, mm-hmm. you know, catechins from green tea. There's actually some speculation now. There's no data on this, in that something called citicoline or CDP choline, mm-hmm. which is an ingredient that actually Ortho does not carry.
It's a membrane active.
Nobody carries it anymore.
It's a membrane active kind of thing. It works on membranes, so maybe
it's. Well, the theory is that the idea is that phospholipase A is a enzyme that sort of let's say hijacked by the virus to produce its own fatty acid surfactants and detergents, sometimes they're called. And there's a speculation that CDP choline could actually inhibit that process and potentially, you know, down-regulate the viral replication. Hmm. Now, there's no evidence of that yet. CDP choline should be safe, so it's not really an issue.
It's mostly used as sort of a brain nutrient, isn't it? You know, for people who are
it normally is viewed as a correct. It's normally used as a brain nutrient, but it has this unusual characteristic, and people are looking at other potential phospholipase A2 inhibitors. Now, again, this is the classic, you know, plausible mechanism.
It's hypothetical.
We don't have any published data.
Yep.
That this will have, although there are some animal studies not related to CDP choline, but that have inhibited phospholipase A2 in coronavirus, a very similar SARS type virus infection in mice. And in those where they were able to block PLA2, they were able to completely inhibit the lethality of the virus. So there's a lot of, you know, again, this is a very unusual. People are looking at, like, you know, like ACE2, mm-hmm. The way that the enzyme that sits on the surface that converts angiotensin sits on a surface and actually it acts as an enzyme and a receptor at the same time. And this is how the virus then attaches itself and gets into the lung tissue. But, you know, there's a lot of speculation about should we upregulate this, should we downregulate mm-hmm. this? And at this point, we don't know anything, about that. So other factors, you know, like for instance, zinc, you know, that people think that zinc can act as a direct antiviral. That's why some people think you need to take it in a lozenge form. There's really not a lot of good head-to-head lozenge versus swallowing.
There's even some speculation that one of the reasons why hydroxychloroquine works as well as it does is because it's what's called a zinc ionophore, which means it makes zinc more available intracellularly. From what I understand, you know, zinc is important for immunity, but the uptake by cells is limited, and you can sort of push it in with certain nutrients, you know, in addition to zinc, in conjunction with zinc, or with yeah. certain medications that actually help it do its job.
I have heard anecdotes, strong anecdotes, that hydrochloroquine with zinc was much more effective than just hydrochloroquine with, you know, other things. So,
and that's become routine in hospital practice, is to combine, you know, that's that right. Cocktail of hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, plus a little zinc, and, you know, they might throw a little vitamin C in the bag. For sicker patients. They're doing this routinely, and, you know, so it's intriguing that they're actually invoking these nutrients. Another big one these days, not something we commonly think of in association with immunity or as an antiviral, is melatonin. Can you explain why that might be germane?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, most people don't know. I mean, we think of melatonin as sort of this get you to sleep hormone. It really isn't even a sleep hormone. It really is more of a tell your body what time it is hormone.
Circadian.
Because mice actually circadian, like a circadian rhythm. But even mice produce lots of melatonin at night, even though they're active. So it's, again, it's not a put you to sleep hormone as much as it is a tell your body, you know, what time of day it is, which basically means tell you what your body, it's dark. But it's, what people don't realize is melatonin, it has a lot more functions in the body. It's a anti-inflammatory, which a lot of people had, you know, don't even realize, but there's lots of papers on the anti-inflammatory and immunomodulatory effects of melatonin. So, as it turns out, there's a bevy of papers that have been sort of behind the scenes. People haven't really looked at this so much. Melatonin as improving the immune system, producing more ability to fight off viral infections and these kind of things. And, you know, is it connected with sleep? Is that one of the connections with sleep and circadian rhythm that we get benefits for immune? Is it other factors going on? But clearly, you know, I've seen many clinicians now recommending melatonin, you know, in the low range, which is typically used for sleep aid, you know, 2 to 3 milligrams, even up to like 10 milligrams or more. Obviously giving them around the proper circadian time was probably helpful. So giving them in the evening, is good. But yes, that's clearly something that people are starting to use and seeing potentially some benefit from.
Okay. Could you talk a little bit about some of the beta glucans products and, some of the mushroom derivatives, in relationship to this?
Yeah. So beta-glucan is a very specific kind of polymer of carbohydrates that is found in yeast. It's found in mushrooms. Actually, it's found in like oat. We think of oat beta-glucan. But the immunomodulatory effects usually are from the yeast and the mushroom, not the oat kind of version. These essentially present to the innate immune system an ability to upregulate the innate immune system, and what's also called training of the innate immune system. And we've got, you know, a fair amount of good data on beta-glucan extracts. So these are typically going to be yeast, with baker's yeast extracts, at about 250 milligrams. And, you know, to reduce upper respiratory tract infection or risk for those kinds of things, in a number of different populations. When it comes to the mushroom side, it's a little more complicated because we have beta-glucans from mushrooms, but there's all kinds of other factors, whether it's reishi or shiitake or turkey tail or these other kinds of actives that come along with the beta glucans. So, you know, I think I don't have like a go-to specific product when it comes to these products. They're very similar, but when it comes to the mushroom products, you know, if you have never taken a mushroom product in the past and it's not something you rely upon, I don't know that this is the time to start just, you know, trying them out. But if you know of someone, if you had one, if you've used it, you know, it wouldn't be a bad time to consider continuing to take beta glucans. It's gonna prime your innate immune system to be ready for a new infection. And there's a pretty good data to suggest that that's going to be helpful, and it's not going to be harmful taken if you end up getting the infection.
So these products would come under the rubric of maitake or Coriolis or lion's mane.
Yeah.
But the caution that you apply is that, you know, perhaps some people might be hypersensitive to these things, and you know, it might bring up some sort of reaction?
Well, I think the thing, and yeah, I'll answer that. I would also throw probably in this broader category arabinogalactin, mm-hmm. which is a similar type compound from typically from larch trees, mm-hmm. but it has very similar activities in its innate immune system. I guess I would say that, you know, at this time, people are trying everything, and sometimes we're trying too many things in
right.
combination.
Right.
And you, as a clinician, know that when you start adding a bunch of new things, if something, yeah. if you have a bad reaction, you're not going to know which one of your products is
exactly.
causing it or
yeah.
which combination of
mm-hmm.
products.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think, you know, on level of things, if you're used to taking mushrooms or if you, mm-hmm. if you can add it to a small number of products you're taking, that's great. But I mean, if you start adding all of the things that we're going to talk about and everything you've
yep.
heard on the internet,
yep.
then it's going to be very complicated to figure this out. And your immune system may end up, you know, not liking all of that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a suitable
precaution.
And so I
think,
yep.
you know, yeah.
Yep.
So that's how I would, and obviously anything that's botanical or mushroom related, you always have a chance that somebody could have a negative reaction just because it's a botanical, it has potential allergens or insensitivities to something.
Could you talk about Andrographis and Astragalus? I tend to sometimes get those confused because they both start with an A, but I know one's from the Ayurvedic tradition and the other one's, you know, from traditional Chinese medicine.
Yeah, so you're talking about Andrographis and Ashwagandha, or?
I misspoke. Ashwagandha being from, it may have some utility here. I'm more thinking about Astragalus and...
okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, if we think of astragalus, we think of ashwagandha. I mean, think of any of these stress, or you know, a lot of these immune modulators are adaptogenics. It turns out that, ironically, we think of them as more in the stress-related camp, but many of them are immune modulators as well. And so, if we start thinking of Andrographis. You know, there's several different studies, that have combined. Most of these are combined with some other things. So very rarely do we see the Siberian ginseng, ironically, which is Eleutherol, which is another one of these adaptogens, was often combined with Andrographis.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that combination was great for upper respiratory tract infections. Obviously, none of which were, you know, this particular coronavirus, mm-hmm. but most upper respiratory tract infections are either rhinoviruses or influenza. And so there's some really good data on Andrographis, arabinogalactin, now I'm getting all my A's mixed up as
right.
well.
Yeah.
Ashwagandha, and, you know, that's also been shown to have effects, and I forget the last one that you'd mentioned, astragalus.
Astragalus,
I think it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So ashwagandha is more in the Ayurvedic tradition, where astragalus is more in the Chinese tradition. So again, it has sort of this overlap between stress and immune. Ironically, almost all of these that we've been talking about, and that includes beta-glucans and astragalus, ashwagandha, and many of these, probably the biggest area of research is actually in cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in the cancer-related research, people are always looking for things that that have an immune-modulating, increased surveillance and things like that. And so a lot of the data that we have comes out of sort of originally cancer-based research. And that doesn't mean cancer patients, but in vitro studies and things like that. So we find that almost all of them, we learn about things. They upregulate natural killer cell activity, which then we see this is also beneficial for other novel sort of, infections that come in. So there's a lot of overlap there. And so all of those that you mentioned, again, this is not a place where you just start mm-hmm. picking off the shelf every potential thing, but you're going to see a lot of these ingredients within other products. And I would classify all of them as safe immunomodulators. That could be added to most people's regimens.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you, and I know that's important during this coronavirus pandemic. And now back to our guest, Thomas Gwilliams. So suffice it to say, with all the buzz about, immune support and the discussion of some of the things that we just talked about, there's been a real run on nutritional supplement products. It's, you know, it started with toilet paper and then extended to, alcohol wipes and Purell. And now the stocks of nutritional supplements are rapidly depleting. I'm getting some complaints from some of my patients that I can't find any melatonin. What happened to the elderberry? And, you know, clearly, you know, you are someone who's right in the belly of the beast in terms of the nutritional supplement industry. You work with Orthomolecular. What's happening? Are you running out of stuff? Are the supply chains being disrupted because some of the ingredients are coming from overseas?
Yeah, so all of that. Clearly, there's a run on a list of ingredients, that most of which we mentioned, even finding things like zinc, which, you know, is readily available everywhere, now is very difficult to find. The things that we're learning, and I think that are going to be, I mean, again, this is not a panic or a place to go out and start hoarding, but the reality is many of these products have to be harvested. There's a seasons for some of these things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once you run out of, you know, the season of 2019, and the materials made from that, like say echinacea or elderberry, it's not like you can go out and just, you know, find 1,000 more elderberry trees. It takes years to mature an elderberry tree to produce fruits that can be used. So, I think there's going to be some long-term problems with some ingredients. And when I say long-term, you know, 18 months or whatever, it's going to take a little while for the other things to come on board. Obviously, you can make more ascorbic acid, vitamin C, other things that can be made are going to be a little easier to get. But, you know, things like, think about what we just talked about, ashwagandha. Think about curcumin, very important herb that people want as an anti-inflammatory. Well, India is on a shutdown, and almost all mm-hmm. curcumin in the world comes from India. Mm-hmm. So they have shut down. So we have some ingredients coming that are on the water, as it were. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for those ships to get here. But very few ships are leaving India. And until recently, very few ships were leaving China or other places. And obviously, you know, we try to get as many things domestically as possible, but some of these herbs don't grow domestically. So it's clear that that's going to be an issue. On the other side, we, like most supplement companies, probably sold more last month than, you know, we sold any month previous to that. And, several high, huge percentage more than we've ever sold in a month. So, we are obviously an essential business. We're working very diligently. We're keeping people at home that don't need to be in the facility, so that we reduce that circle of influence of potential positive. We happen to live in a county that is extremely low in central Wisconsin. We have very few positive cases. So, we've restricted all travel from all our people from leaving even the local area, so that we can reduce the possibility of somebody coming up positive and creating sort of a quarantine issue in our facility. So yeah, it's a new reality that we've never had to really think about, taking temperatures of everyone as they come to work.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of people relying upon us to get product to them. And if we had to quarantine our encapsulating people or quarantine our shipping department, you can imagine that would be devastating.
That would be the choke point. Yeah,
we're trying to do everything. Yeah. Yeah. So we're doing our best, but I can say that, this obviously not an issue just for us. This is there's a lot of the trade organizations that are working to figure out what are the key, bottlenecks in the, supply chain. But, you know, everybody's looking for the same things. Mm-hmm. So
this message to the public is keep trying, you know, just keep trying and, you know, check with your, local manufacturer. I mean, your favorite manufacturer and,
yeah.
you know, see, you can communicate with, Orthomolecular. Is there, can you go to the website? Is there a chat, capability or can you?
Yeah. And I think, you know, like yourself, the clinicians are figuring out ways of getting things, to their patients. If their offices are closed, obviously that's going to be an issue. So mm-hmm. they have to find other means of access.
Well, thank God I use a remote fulfillment service. I mean, it used to be where physically people would have to come to my office, and my office is now closed as a mandatory shutdown. And so the products can be made available through Fullscript, which is an online source of
right.
all manner of nutritional products, not just Orthomolecular, although that's possibly the most prominent brand represented there.
Yeah, I mean, we don't obviously sell direct to consumers, so we rely upon clinicians like yourself and those that are set up with Fullscript like you are, obviously in this situation are going to be in a much better situation. But I think it's like anything, eventually when people, I think the hoarding of certain things is a natural reaction. Hopefully, as we go farther into this, people will realize that they have enough of their toilet paper and Lysol and their vitamin C.
Plaquenil
and they'll allow other people and they'll let other people purchase them. So unfortunately, there's also a lot of unscrupulous characters that are out there selling all kinds of things. One of the things that I just had a 1-hour conversation with our supply chain team just a couple hours ago. Obviously, adulteration or people selling products or ingredients that are not approved or not the right thing is something that we have to be aware of. So we have all kinds of testing apparatuses to test our raw materials. Unfortunately, most consumers don't have an HPLC and a TLC and, ICPM to look at heavy metals and everything. So that is where the issue is. So this isn't the time necessarily to go out and find a brand you've never heard of that showed up off the market with the only zinc available or the only whatever. Mm-hmm. I think, unfortunately, there are going to be people that are taking advantage of this situation with some negative products, and there will be consequences for that health-wise for somebody.
I'm glad you pointed that out because, unfortunately, times like this bring out the worst in some unscrupulous people. Who are trying to take advantage of the situation. Any thought eventually among industry experts, I know we're in the middle of this emergency, but in the maybe disentangling us from supply chains that could become choke points in the future, since with the pharmaceutical industry, we get a lot of our products from overseas, India and China, notably. I'm not saying that products from those countries are bad or adulterated, but just, when there's a lockdown and when those countries are closed off, it tends to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of economic and political realities that, rear their heads during these times. The supply chain for nutrients and dietary supplement ingredients is global, trying to find places that are friendly, and actually have, good regulations and good, human rights and those kind of things is important. Many of the ingredients we use, however, are just grown places that, like you mentioned, India, China, Africa, you know, Middle East or whatever, and that's just where those things grow. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can't just, I can't grow curcumin in Wisconsin. I mean, American ginseng grows great here, but, so I think, you know, that we're stuck with that, but we are stuck with the idea that we have to have a global supply chain. Obviously timing, you know, getting things in the United States, keeping enough supply here, but, you know, when everybody is after the exact same thing, it does become problematic because you can't stock everything at every, you know, at infinite levels. So there's a balance, and you know, I just hope that we can get to the other side of this without, you know, too many supply chain issues.
Well, I know you're doing your best, and I know you're working 24/7. You're all hands on deck over there at Orthomolecular, but you're also doing a lot of time studying this issue and bringing your extraordinary knowledge of molecular biology and immunology to bear on this problem, and you shared some important insights with us. So once again, I want to mention the book, which is Supplementing Dietary Nutrients, A Guide for Healthcare Professionals. It's available from pointinstitute.org. And congratulations. And, you know, once this settles down, we'll get you to come back and talk about some ordinary subjects when the smoke clears.
Okay, well, yeah, stay safe there in the heart of Manhattan, and I hope to... Hopefully, we both hear good news coming out in the next couple of weeks about the flattening of the curve.
Right, and we'll get to hang out in person instead of exercising social distancing with our virtual meetings like this one. Thanks, Tom. That's Tom Gwilliams. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.